Hi, today's August 13, 2016. This is Movie Podcast number 170. I'm Todd Agassiz, my good friend John Westfall, who is back from his super secret assignment.
It was a super secret assignment on a beach.
Yep. And well, yeah. Thanks to Don Sarsinelli, who filled in ably for you last week.
Mm-hmm.
We almost had a conspiracy views podcast, too, but then rational reason broke out and we didn't do it.
Oh, I just thought it was the black helicopters that usually come down when we try to do a conspiracy views, and we have to run until we can escape, and then, I know, you know, a few years later, we think it's a good idea again.
Yeah, especially since they have those, silenced helicopter motors, so you don't really
hear. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you got to just keep your eye out.
That's right. Okay.
My cat usually notices them, you know, so that's how I know.
Okay, so I never heard of this app before, but Automattic, the company that produces WordPress, has an app called SimpleNote. It's free. Some of it has become open source. It's available for iOS, Android, web browser, Linux, just a whole bunch of stuff. And, you know, I haven't even logged in to create an account to take a look at it, but just kind of looking at it, you know, the screenshots, it's not quite as powerful as Evernote. It looks a bit more powerful than Google Keep, which is the other one I've been using. But I was wondering if it might be an Evernote replacement someday, you know?
Yeah, I could see it in the future being one. I read about it a few weeks ago. There was an article I came across that was a breakdown of should you go with Evernote, OneNote, or SimpleNote. And Keep, I think, Keep and Apple Notes kind of got thrown in as a, you know, if you don't do too much at all, you can use these. So SimpleNote but the general consensus was SimpleNote was too simple, in a sense. So I think if you are heavy into note-taking, Evernote and OneNote are going to be your apps for now. But it would be kind of nice. What I would really like to see, and with SimpleNote being by the same people who make Automattic and with them open sourcing a lot of the apps, it would be really cool if you could do kind of your own cloud with SimpleNote. Instead of ever hosting anything on their service, I would really like it if at some point you could find a Note app that would let you keep things local on your drive and then sync across kind of you know, what the original Evernote was, although it didn't have syncing ability. And because I've been trying to get very much more aware of what I'm relying on other people's clouds for. That was one of the reasons I switched from LastPass to 1Password, and ironically now 1Password has a cloud that they're trying to get people to start using. I like using Dropbox because it's got a local copy on everything that I use it on. So I could see that being a really cool thing if SimpleNote pulls that off.
Yeah, and you know, I've tried using OneNote every couple of months, and I hate it every time I try it. I just cannot get past that you know, initial negative view I had of it, which is why I left it for Evernote.
Yeah, I used it. I've used it the last few months for online instructor's manual that I built for one of the programs that I coordinate, and it's worked really well for that. It has, you know, because it replicates as if I were to just hand a binder with sections and paper materials. And that's what I'm trying to replicate. So OneNote's a great tool for that. But for everything else I'm doing, Evernote works way better.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm still an Evernote user, even though I get more worried about it every day.
Yeah, well, I will confess, I've started filing things that I used to file in Evernote, and I had filed in Evernote for a few years. I've started putting them back in a traditional directory structure in Dropbox.
Right.
So.
Okay. And I wanted to note that, you know, a couple of weeks, 2 weeks ago, we had Don Watkins on to kind of commemorate IBM PC's 31st birthday, which was yesterday, Friday, August 12th. So happy birthday to IBM PC. I think as someone said on Twitter, it is now old enough to run for president. So, there you go. And I've been running Windows 10 Anniversary Update, the official version, not the insider preview build. So I've got that running now. I'm pretty happy with it. And I just wanted to note two things, I guess. One, I love having that bash shell on Windows. You know, I have the shell open, the terminal window open on Mac OS X when I'm on a Mac all the time, like right now. And so it's nice to have the equivalent of it on Windows. That's, you know, not a kludge or an emulator or a virtual machine or just, it's just running. It's part of the subsystem. It's pretty cool. And I want to note that one of the things that is running a lot is BC. And for those of you who don't know it, if when you're in a Unix or Linux environment, generally speaking, BC, which is a shorthand for basic calculator, is a utility that's accessible from the shell. And although its name is Basic Calculator, it is anything but. It is not quite as powerful as R, the statistical programming language, but it is a mathematical or calculator programming language. And you can actually write programs in BC if you want to, although I just use it as a simple command line calculator, but I use it like every day. So if you finally have Bash Shell on your Windows box, when you go into Bash Shell, type BC. And then you can start typing, you know, quick arithmetic and other kinds of things to calculate stuff. And you just hit Control-D to exit out. And you'll be back in a Bash shell out of the, if you want to call it a BC shell, which is kind of its own shell that fires up. And the last Windows 10 thing I wanted to note before we get to our main topic is apparently Redstone, or something like it, is emerging. For those of you running Windows Insider Preview, I noticed it on my... On mine, it you know, I've got a new build that I installed the other day. Haven't really looked at it. Oh yeah, John's just kind of yeah. Go ahead, John. Why don't you talk about that? That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. So before we get to what we were going to talk about, there's one thing that was very interesting this week that somehow missed either of our radar when we were coming up with our rundown. That was what Ars Technica is calling the secure boot snafu. It appears, and we'll just do a quick boil of down of this, that basically a debugging tool that Microsoft released for developers contained a couple of cryptographic keys that can actually be used to disable the secure boot firmware on certain Microsoft devices where it is by default locked on. So things like Surface tablets. And I forget exactly which devices had this, but in the past, you couldn't turn off the secure boot. It was so that you had kind of what Apple does, where you can't throw random stuff on a device. But now it looks like, thanks to these security analysts, that the golden key might be out. So that's good news if you're a power user that really wants to mess around with your Microsoft devices. It's really bad news if you are one of those people who claim that golden keys or backdoors are perfectly fine to be in devices because they will never leak out.
That's right. This one didn't leak out. They sent it out.
Yeah. It made its way out the front door, not the back door. Yeah. Which, either way, it came out a door. So I think it is very interesting that we continually have people who say, no, backdoors are fine for trusted people because they never leak out. Well, in some cases, like with Microsoft, they just send it out to you.
Yep. And I should note that I think the secure boot is sometimes referred to as the anti-Linux feature to prevent you from running other operating systems. For example, my Surface RT, which is, you know, basically a doorstop, I mean, runs, it's just useless. It'd be neat if I could run Linux on it. I guess.
Well, you might soon be able to do that.
Yeah.
Because as it's pointed out in the Ars Technica story, if Microsoft wanted to mitigate this, they could. However, they would have to basically invalidate all of their install media that's been created up to date. So that's obviously not a very palatable solution for Microsoft because. Yep. Anyone who buys a copy of Windows probably wants their install media to still work. So, yeah, it's a rock and a hard place for Microsoft on this.
Well, I will look forward to being able to use my Surface RT for something other than a doorstop or cutting board.
And according to Microsoft, they released a statement yesterday that said the jailbreak technique, so it's a jailbreak now, described in the researcher's report on August 10, does not apply to desktop or enterprise PC systems. It requires physical access and administrator rights to ARM and RT devices and does not compromise encryption protections.
Darn.
I don't really know about if that's completely 100% true, but it's a good spin on this. But yeah. That was, I think, what I thought was the most interesting tech news that came out this week.
Okay.
And I almost forgot about it.
Okay. So the main topic we're going to get to is John recently, not quite by choice, but returned to the Windows Fold. Not that he's given up on his Macs. Still's got those. But he is also using a Windows device now, so...
Yeah, so a couple months ago, I took a job or an additional role on that requires me to be able to work more or less remotely on occasion. And we are, like many universities, kind of a setup where a lot of people like running Macs, but all the enterprise stuff runs on Windows. Windows file servers, Windows-based apps that need to be run, databases that only are accessible if you have certain software installed, etc. And of course, sometimes just the full Microsoft Office suite, which while 90% of it is on Mac, sometimes you need things like Microsoft Access or Publisher.
Oh God, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So now in my bag, I've got, as I'm holding up, a full-size iPad Pro. That's my personal device that I carry around. And then I've got the Surface Four that was given to me this week. Well, we purchased it, so I had to approve the purchase of it. I didn't.
And it's roughly the same size, right?
Yeah, they're roughly the same size. The iPad Pro is a little bit bigger, and I assume that your iPad Pro is a little smaller.
Right, I've got the 9.7.
Yeah. But they both fit nicely in the bag I'm using, which is a Star Trek bag. So, you know, you got to have something geeky to have on this. But I thought it was interesting, now that I've got both devices and I've got them both together, some of the comparing and contrasting between the personal device, the iPad Pro, and the work device. So I can kind of give a couple of my initial thoughts.
Sure.
The first one that I thought was really cool was I did set up the using Duet, which is the software that lets you turn an iPad into a secondary display for a Mac or a PC. I did set up a dual screen mobile setup with this yesterday for fun. So I can have the Surface Pro basically powering the iPad, and the iPad basically, you know, as an extended desktop. So that's kind of cool. It means I can wander into a meeting and quickly set up dual display.
Right.
But some of the things that I'm disappointed in, man, battery life on the Surface is nothing compared to the iPad.
No, it's different, isn't it?
It is depressingly different.
If you start it up right after breakfast, you'll die before lunch.
Yeah, and in fact, the first thing I did when I got it was I started setting up my new setup at my office, and I thought, you know, I got to get another charger for this thing because I'm not going to want to be pulling the charger out of my bag every day. Whereas with the iPad, I don't usually carry around a charger with me, even in my bag. I just have one at home and one at work. So that was one thing that was kind of a shock.
And in a pinch, you can charge your iPad from a USB portable battery.
Yeah, that was the second thing that kind of freaked me out, was that there's no way to charge over anything other than the proprietary connector. And I guess I knew this rationally, but it just didn't hit me until I was looking at it going, geez, I'm so used to having just charge over USB for my tablets. I've never had a tablet where you couldn't charge over USB.
Yeah, and you know, but going back to Duet for a minute, because I've been interested in it, but I haven't been willing to pop the $19.95 or whatever it costs. It's kind of expensive for an iOS app, relatively speaking. I think it uses a wired solution, right? You plug your Lightning cable into the PC.
So there's two products that do basically the same thing, Air Display and Duet. Mm-hmm. They're both more on the expensive end. Air Display is around 10 and Duet's 20. I have both. Duet, I've noticed, is a little bit faster, a little less latency, but there still is a little bit of latency even over the USB connection. So if you were doing something like, say, video editing or gaming, you definitely wouldn't be able to get the same kind of dual monitor setup going where you would feel comfortable. There'd still be that little bit of lag. Running something that's relatively static on it, like if you wanted to have Outlook open on one screen and be working on the other screen, or have a document open that you're referencing on the iPad and then be working on the Surface screen, that works really well, and it's pretty seamless. But yeah, once it's set up, and the setup takes about a minute or two to get the software installed on both ends, it fires up pretty quick, and I've had no problems with Duet.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning, the Surface Pro 4 versus iPad Pro. So how do you log in? Are you using Windows Hello? Are you using a PIN? Are you using a... Well, I guess you don't have to reveal, but exactly.
I have not investigated if I can use Windows Hello or a PIN. Right now, it's just my domain password for the domain that the system's logged to.
So
that's a question. I should look into that.
It does support Windows Hello face recognition. Works really well, including in the dark, which is kind of interesting. Unlike my old Nexus 4, which briefly had face recognition before Google pulled it. And if you have the special keyboard, which I do not, if you have the expensive type cover that has a fingerprint reader, you can also use that. So
yeah, I do not have that fun type cover. I just have the basic type cover.
Right. But the Windows Hello face recognition works great for me. It's what I use all the time. So
I'm also not used to this. I'm just starting mine up to see if I can do Windows Hello, and I'm not used to this lag in starting. I'm used to open the cover and then bam, you're in. So this lag is kind of strange to me. Yeah. I did notice that. Go ahead.
Did you install the anniversary update?
No.
It'll get slower.
Well, that's something to look forward to. I did enable Cortana today, although I haven't used Cortana, and now my profile picture from my live account is showing up, so that's a really old profile picture of me, but that's kind of cool.
That's in an enterprise environment, mm-hmm. Cortana and Windows Store is kind of a problem, because I haven't asked. I think I may have mentioned it last week. I haven't asked, but... As far as I know, I don't have a login that works with Cortana or Windows Store, Microsoft account. Right? I mean, I have a personal one, but I don't have a work account to use. So mm-hmm. I can't download any universal apps or anything like that, except for the ones that come with Microsoft. Those get updated regardless if you're logged in. And I can't use Cortana, I think. Or I'm limited in the way I can use Cortana.
Hmm.
So, I have an enterprise login. That's not a problem, right? And, authenticate against Wi-Fi and all that kind of stuff, that good stuff. But it's kind of weird having, not being able to use the Windows Store, which is okay, because having used Windows 10 in an office environment since last September or October, I've never had to yet download anything from the Windows Store for work.
I briefly fired up the Windows Store to see if there was anything in there that I cared about, and
not really.
I didn't see anything.
No.
So, I think that's also an interesting thing as Microsoft further merges their technologies in to talk about when it's an employer's computer, what exactly you do with it and how custom you get. I mean, this is my tablet. This is actually my work computer, so I'm not sharing this with anyone, but I could see it getting really strange and hard to figure out if you had, say, a computer lab full of devices that people would be using, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden it's wanting you to customize or personalize with your personal account, and as long as it's kept separate, I guess corporate IT wouldn't have a problem with it, but it just seems different than what we're used to.
Right.
I also found tablet mode to be interesting, or as I think of it, useless mode.
I was going to ask you, that's how I consider tablet mode.
Yeah, extremely useless mode. And
basically, it's Windows 8.1.
Yeah, it was, and it was really annoying that is there a way that you can still see your desktop in tablet mode?
No, you just have to turn it off.
So even if it's, I assure you, I want to get to that file that's sitting on my desktop in that blur right behind.
Nope.
No, you're not getting it. So that's kind of a little bit annoying.
And that's the problem with Windows, isn't it? I mean, after post Windows 8 or including Windows 8, it has multiple personality disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It doesn't know if it's a tablet or desktop. It's not quite in between, and doesn't work well as a tablet, and it's really confused. Poor thing.
Yeah, so I'm in tablet mode right now, and I'm looking at it, and there's nothing here I want to do.
No.
Absolutely not a thing. And all the Life at a Glance stuff. Now, I did do something with Outlook that I might regret. I put all my accounts in Outlook.
Ooh.
I'm thinking about maybe taking out my personal accounts and trying to use Windows Mail for that to see if that's any better or worse.
Windows Mail... I mean, I use Windows Mail at home, even though I have access to Outlook, just because. I've been trying to make peace with it, but it is a piece of trash.
Well, then maybe I'll stick with Outlook.
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise, my personal accounts are Gmail accounts, so I could just have a browser window open and do that.
Yeah.
I am finding one of the things that, as a longtime Mac user now that's just recently back to Windows, that I'm starting to get annoyed with is I can't launch things as fast as I'm expecting to. I got so used to just hitting Alt Spacebar to open up Finder or Spotlight in Mac OS that it's really frustrating that I have to hit this Windows key, and then the stuff I really want isn't on the menu I'm looking at.
And Cortana doesn't always know what app you want to actually launch and gives you like 10 different options instead of the one you really want to do.
So I think there's going to be some more customization I'm going to need on this. I will say that on the bright side, for corporate resources, to get into enterprise resources that we have, it's a lot quicker than the workarounds I've had to do with Mac OS and with iPad. So logging into the VPN works without a problem. Connecting in network drives works without a problem. Getting on to internal resources works without a problem. So that is nice. My iPad, I can do pretty much everything the same on my iPad, but I've got two or three different apps I have to use for it, and I've got to do it in exactly the right order. So I will say that I think there's a lot of value to having both devices in my bag as of right now.
Yeah. Now, now that you've had your Surface Pro 4 for, what, a week or so?
Maybe,
do you find that you've ever – I mean, I know you're talking about tablet mode, but have you ever really found yourself using it without a keyboard?
Without
a physical
really.
Keyboard?
Not yet, and I'd like to try. I could see myself potentially – so the only time I could see myself doing that would be if I didn't have an iPad when I was presenting and I wanted to walk around the room and present with using in tablet mode, but I'd be afraid that it would just die with the battery life. Considering that I only – you know, I teach maybe two classes back-to-back, so it would be off charger for 100 minutes or so, or maybe 125 minutes. It just seems, even with battery saver and the little bit of use I've given it today, it's down to 83%, and it was at 100% this morning. I've only used it for maybe 30 minutes today, so.
Yeah, battery life is a problem. I mean, you can play with, you know, the power settings and stuff. I've got it balanced, but it still doesn't have great battery life. I know I had a day where I had lots of meetings. So I had a, you know, like a 2 or 3 hour meeting in the morning using a battery power. I had hoped I would be able to charge it during lunch, but I didn't. And by the time I got to my afternoon meeting, at one point, I think I was down to 10% battery. So, or just at the point where it's going to like shut off all by itself kind of thing. Not a lot of fun. I don't think that's happened to me on iPad in a long time. I can't remember the last time it happened.
Yeah. I've never gotten an iPad down to can't use it mode. I've gotten close. I've been teaching before and it's gone down to 5%, 4%, but I've never had to worry about it. And this thing I would worry about if I wasn't within close proximity of a plug and didn't have a charger in my bag.
Yeah. The problem I've had in using it as a tablet mode, you know, where basically I either tear the keyboard off or I fold it behind, and is when I'm in a meeting where I don't have a desk in front of me. You know, I'm just sitting on a chair, like a, you know, conference kind of situation. And so I've got the tablet on my lap like I would with an iPad. But the problem is because perhaps I'm not using the, you know, the Metro apps, the modern UI or whatever you call it, nothing I have is touch friendly. So my fat fingers can't hit the X button, you know, to close a piece of software or something properly. The stylus is a giant pain because there's nowhere to put it when you're typing. and if you're in like a dark room typing away during a meeting, you know, conference type thing, you're going to lose your stylus. I mean, I know you can stick it on the side with a magnet, but come on, that falls off all the time. And it's just, like I said, so finger stylus, it just doesn't work well. You got to have that keyboard. The touchpad is nice, but not perfect. I still use a mouse with mine.
Yeah, what mouse do you use?
I'm using, I think it's a Logitech Bluetooth mouse.
So it's interesting, when you buy from our particular vendor, for this stuff is CDW, and CDW's education pack for the Surface Pro comes with, of course, the type cover, the Surface Pro, and one of these Microsoft Arc mice.
Oh, so I might have one of those. It's super flat.
Yeah, I've actually been using it, you know, so it, as I'm showing you, you know, you kind of turn that automatically turns it on. And I've been pretty happy with the Arc mouse, although it gets does this weird feedback thing when you reach the bottom of a list where it just keeps, like, vibrating in your hand to yell at you that you're at the bottom of a list. But that's been useful, and I've used that more than the trackpad. I have to say, I'm surprised that the keyboard on both the iPad Pro and the Surface 4 are just as usable to me. The cover keyboards, which I remember back when we first started seeing the Microsoft version of this keyboard, you know, there was the type cover and the tap cover or whatever.
Touch cover, which I refer to as the abomination, but anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So I hope that the type cover would be useful, and I've been pleasantly surprised that both the covers are very useful. I was surprised when I got the iPad Pro last year it was as useful as it was. And so kudos to both Microsoft and Apple for coming up with good slim keyboards.
Yeah, I think once you hit that nearly 13-inch display and a chassis of equivalent size, the keyboards become much more useful. Quite frankly, I really like the Surface Pro 4's type cover, and it is the only keyboard I use. I have I think the mouse I got came as part of a Logitech keyboard mouse combination. I'm trying to think if that's correct now. But in any case, I've never used external keyboard because I really like the type cover. It works perfectly fine. I connect it to a dock and I just use that all day.
Now, do you have the Surface dock or do you have a third-party dock?
I have the Surface dock.
Okay, so we just switched over. All of my colleagues that have the Surface got the Surface dock, although now we're buying Dell's docking station because apparently the Surface dock was having problems with multiple monitor setups. Mm. So I've got the order that I have in, I'm getting two monitors, so the Surface will be the third monitor in that setup. Mm-hmm. But apparently the Surface dock doesn't like doing anything other than just extend multi-monitor. So. But so here's my question to you. Is there anything – I haven't really used the Surface long enough to figure this out for my own usage, but since you've had it for a few months longer, is there anything where you go to reach in your bag and you go, well, I could do this on either the Surface or the iPad. So have you had any of those moments where you've had to choose, and if so, which one did you choose?
You know, if I had to – if that thought comes to mind, it's basically because it's something that's just beyond the reach of the iPad Pro, or not more appropriately, the software that's available to iPad Pro. So, you know, if it's something like I needed a diagram, Visio. I mean, I know there are diagramming tools on iPad Pro, but Visio is kind of the standard, right?
Yeah.
And so even though I hate Visio 2013, 2016, because they changed a lot of stuff, including they got rid of the blank template, which I loved. You know, now all their templates have a background color, which I hate. But it's that sort of thing where I say, you know, I know I'm going to have a lot of windows open.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to have Word, I'm going to have Excel, I'm going to have, you know, a bunch of tabs in a browser. You can kind of do that on iPad Pro, it's split screen, but having multiple windows, I mean, actual multiple overlapping windows is still the way to go.
Well, it's definitely, I think, an interesting work environment that you and I are both in. I have a suspicion a lot of people are in this same sort of boat where they are carrying a personal device and a home or a enterprise device. Mm-hmm. And I think that people have done that for years, but now those two devices are pretty much the same devices. They're both tablets. They're both, you know, kind of ultra book or ultra slim sort of things. So I think that we might finally reach parity where, for example, I'm thinking now that I've got the Surface Pro, I might be able to take vacations without taking my full MacBook.
Oh, because, I'm sure of that. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I've got a desktop operating system. In fact, the last thing that I needed my MacBook for just by happenstance was because of a server that I take care of, and that server I'm migrating over to Amazon Web Services. So once it's migrated over, I don't have to worry about logging into a kludgy KVM interface through Java and needing a desktop operating system. So that's one of the reasons why my MacBook Pro that I'm using right now might become almost always at home, and my other two MacBooks might always stay at my desks at work, and it might just be the tablets and me when I travel.
Well, you know, the only thing I really can't do on anything except my MacBook is record this podcast over Skype. That's pretty close. Well, that and do the audio leveling. So basically, the only thing I can't really do on an iPad Pro or even a Windows PC, actually, because I know you can do it, I just don't know how, is, you know, I've got all the software pieces set up on my Mac to record these podcasts, and basically there are three pieces, if anybody's wondering. So I use, in addition to Skype, which is what John and I used to talk, I use Audio Hijack Pro to record the conversation in real time, and then I use a piece of currently unsupported software, but, you know, it still works fine, called Levelator to do the volume leveling, so John's voice volume and mine are more or less the same when you hear it, because they're slightly different when we record it. And
I scream all the time.
and that's free. It's still available, although, you know, they stopped enhancing it a couple years ago. And I use Audacity to do the final mix down. You know, put the intro music and cut out any, so much. I wish I could. It doesn't do that automatically. But I'll cut out, like, if we have a audio problem and I jot down where the problem was, and I'll just cut out that problem piece. So that sort of thing. So, you know, everything except Audio Hijack Pro is available in Windows. If I could find a good replacement for that, I could do it in a Windows box.
And I think if we were doing Conspiracy Views podcast at this point, it would be because we could start talking about how it's the conspiracy to keep you on a Mac.
That's right. It's an Apple conspiracy.
Yeah. If you didn't have to do this podcast, you would be off of it immediately.
Well, you know, and next year I'm going to get my new Mac, which is going to be a 2013 MacBook Air that I'll inherit from my daughters.
I know at one point she was resistant to giving it up because she didn't think she needed a new one. She didn't realize you were in line for her old one.
That's right. It wasn't a choice. You know, I said, look, I need your old Mac because my old Mac is actually your older Mac. This MacBook Pro is the one she used in high school. So I said, you know, I got to send you off to grad school with a nice Mac, and I'll get your mostly nice Mac from 2013.
Well, it's interesting thing about Macs, though. I mean, like I said, I have two other MacBooks other than the one I'm using. This one is on my home office desk. My other one is at one of my offices at work, and I use it as the primary computer there. And the other one, which is the 2009 MacBook Pro, is sitting at the other office at work, and it's my secondary computer there. So it's really one of those things. Macs last longer than I'll be interested to see how long the Surface Pro 4 lasts compared to the MacBooks.
Yeah, the Macs I've had have had very long, useful lives. You know, I've got PCs that are older that will turn on, but they're useless.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of my netbooks, for example. But this MacBook Pro, which is also like yours, a 2009 model, you know, after I upgraded it to 8 gigabytes, it's been just fine for what I use it for. So, you know, as long as you don't edit video, I think you're okay.
Yep.
Let me think about any other things you might have found interesting about the Surface Pro 4. Let's see, we talked about the keyboard, Windows Hello, the lack of tablet mode, despite what they call tablet mode.
Yeah, useless mode.
By the way, I have a coworker who has a Surface Pro 4, and apparently his decided to upgrade to Anniversary Edition while he was talking to his boss, so that was kind of interesting. And trying to demo something, and that demo just...
Well, and I will say I've been warned by many of my coworkers about my Surface and just the things that have broken during updates.
Yeah.
So I am I'm interested to see how this works out.
Yeah. I have to say, despite some of the negative things I said, I really like the Surface Pro I've been using since April now. So I've been using it a couple of months. And after a couple of firmware upgrades, a lot of the power management issues disappeared. Although every now and then it doesn't wake up, even now.
Mm-hmm.
And in general, I love that keyboard. It's just wide enough. You know, versus my, what I call the iPad Pro Junior, 9.7-inch device. It's still narrow, right, relative to a real notebook.
Mm-hmm.
And so while the Apple keyboard for it is great, I mean, you know, I have no bad things to say about it. If it were as wide as your iPad Pro Senior, I can see how it would be much, much more useful based on my use of the type cover with the Surface Pro 4.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be interesting to see how we both deal with these devices. And at least now, yes, I have a Windows machine that I'm on. I've been on a Windows machine kind of in secret full-time at one office for the last few months, so yeah. Now I'm just on another one for keeps in my bag, which is kind of scary.
Well, now you get to enjoy Patch Tuesday like the rest of us.
Oh, I had missed it so much.
Okay, so kind of a short or shorter than usual Mobile Views podcast, but it wasn't all that much happening this week, John, while you were, on your
Super secret mission. I leave and nothing much happens.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way it is. All right, so we got to go back, and we'll see if we can get some of our other friends on. I know we've been trying to get Jack Cook back and Jason Dunn back, and certainly, I think Don Sorcinelli was on the two weekends you were gone, so you never got to talk to Don.
Yeah, you somehow... Yeah, I was not too thrilled about that. Don and I enjoy talking with each other. At least I enjoy talking with Don.
Yeah, Don doesn't like talking to you.
Yeah,
so, and I think however, Sven,
I do have to put Don on warning that I will be in the Boston area later this year for a conference. So.
Okay. Oh, and somebody you I think you may have been on a podcast with before, Paul Lawler. We were talking about Pokemon Go, and Paul says, "Hey, I'm like level 23. I'm not on your podcast." So we'll have to revisit with Paul Lawler to see how his Pokemon Go is going. I think the craze is dying down, though. What do you think?
I think so too. I haven't I haven't tried to become a Pokemon Sanctuary in about a week, so you're right. It probably is a little bit dying down.
Okay. Well, we're going to try to get Paul Lawler on as well as some of our other friends in the next couple of weeks. I guess you've got school coming up soon.
So. Oh, yeah. This is our last week without classes. I start teaching again on the 22nd. So, okay. But I've been doing a lot all summer. So it really doesn't feel so much that I'm going back. It just feels like I am doing different things.
Okay. All righty. This has been Mobile Views Podcast number 170, and we will talk to you next time.